Revelation chapter 3. And our text is that verse 20, which speaks of a door. Another door we find in the Bible. Revelation 3, verse 20. It is the Lord who is speaking. The Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." I read recently from a book by Leonard Ravenhill. He wrote a great book entitled Why Revival Tarries. Leonard Ravenhill said this: there are three persons living in each one of us. The one we think we are. The one other people think we are. And the one that God knows we are. And those words cannot be described. Those who made up the congregation, the assembly, there in the Laodicean church. The one whom we think we are. The one whom others think we are, but then there is the one whom God knows who we are. All in that church had a false opinion of themselves. They thought themselves to be something that they were not. But the minister of the church received a message from God. The Lord revealed to the minister of that church in Laodicea the truth about all those who made up that congregation there in Laodicea. Whatever each member thought about themselves, whatever their opinion of themselves was, the Lord knew the truth. Because verse 15 he said, I know thy works. And the minister of the church was made aware of the one who had spoken those words. For there in verse 14, and unto the angel, where the angel is minister, and unto the minister of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." So there was no mistaking as to who delivered this word to the minister of the church there in Laodicea. So the one who is the faithful and true witness bore witness and told the truth about those in the church in Laodicea. He revealed to them their spiritual condition. Look at verses 15 and 16. "I know thy works." Whatever you think you are, God says, I know thy works. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. There, the faithful and true witness sums up the spiritual state of the church in Laodicea. The Lord made it clear what their spiritual condition of the believers were there in the church in Laodicea. They were lukewarm. And we all know that if on a warm summer's day we want a cold drink of water, and instead we're given a glass of lukewarm water, in all probability you would spit it out. Lukewarm. That's exactly what the Lord did. Because ye are lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot, just mediocre. Lukewarm, God said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God does not like believers being lukewarm. He would rather they were burning hot for him, or even cold. But lukewarm, no. I will spew thee out of my mouth. The spiritual condition. He highlights also their selfish claim. Look at verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing. God says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They made that claim, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Once again, the faithful and true witness came and told them the truth about themselves. Need of nothing. And they felt they got to the place where they didn't even need the Lord. They didn't even need the Lord. Have need of nothing, including the Lord. They were so wrapped up in themselves, so full of fleshly pride, claiming that they need nothing. It's a very different matter when you're dependent on the Lord to put bread on your table. To put bread on your table every day. We hardly know where the next meal is coming from. It's a different matter. For then you'll know how much you need the Lord, and you'll pray, give us this day our daily bread. But when the cupboards are full and the tables are laden, then the retort is, I have need of nothing. Not even the Lord. That was the state of the church in Laodicea. Even though it was a church, an assembly of believers, they had become so carnal and so proud, so fleshly minded, they left the Lord out of everything, including their church, including their worship. Where was the Lord? He was outside. knocking on their door, seeking admittance. They left the Lord outside. That should never, ever, ever be. They left the Lord outside, and that's what brings us then to consider this door. Behold, the Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man of that assembly of the Laodicea, if any man in that church hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So what do we have here? We have the king. He's outside the door. You look there at the verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. So we're dealing with the king. And here the Laodicean church had left their king outside. There was no place for him. Either in their house or in their heart, it was outside. The king at the door. I want to begin then, looking at this verse of scripture, begin by considering the person. The church that had become so prosperous and so proud, they had felt they had need of nothing. Obviously believed that they didn't even need the Lord. They felt that they were doing very well without him. This is the truth about the church in Laodicea. They were doing very well without him. They left him out of their work and their witness and their worship. They had no place for the Lord in any aspect of their church there in Laodicea. Whether it is the house of God or the heart. Whether it is the house door or the heart door. They had left the Lord outside. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Knocking at the heart's door. Here we have, regarding the person, we see the wonder. Look there at what the Lord said. He said in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's drawing attention to the fact that he's the one who's at the door, outside. Behold. He's drawing their attention to this fact that their king, their Lord, their Savior is outside the door. The church had no time for him, no place for him in their assembly. And yet here he is. Yet here he is. Standing at the door. That's a wonder. It's a wonder that the Lord was seeking admittance. When they'd cast him out. When they hadn't any time for him. When they felt they were doing well without him. Yet, we find the Lord at the door. That's a wonder. This was no stranger at the door. This was their king. This was their Lord and their Savior. Oh, what an insult. What an insult. And yet he has come to the door seeking to be admitted into his church. into, as it were, his house, into his heart. The heart of every child of God, the Lord ought to be upon his throne, in the heart of every Christian. Standing outside the door of the heart is not the place for Christ. That's an insult. We have an awful picture there in that verse 20 of the king standing outside. Many another would never have approached the door. Many another person would never have come near that door. They had been rejected. Ah, but then the Lord Jesus Christ is just not like any person. Sure, didn't we see last week how the Savior appeared unto the disciples, the door being shut for fear of the Jews? And there on resurrection day and the resurrection evening, where did he go to? He went to the disciples and appeared unto them, the same disciples who had forsaken him and deserted him and distanced themselves from him a few days before. And yet they were the ones that he went to meet with. What grace he showed that resurrection day, and what grace he shows here, coming and knocking on the door that had been closed against him. He is their king. He ought to be on the throne of the heart of each Christian in that Laodicean church. Instead, he's outside. What a shame. What an insult to the one who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have the wonder and then you have the waiting. The Lord doesn't speak of himself as coming up to the door and knocking. No. He evidently did that some time before. No, the Lord says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Indicating the dear Savior had been standing there for some time. And here is another application of the word behold. Behold, I stand. Look, he's saying to the believers in the church, look, I've been standing here for some time. Isn't that a wonder in itself? That when the Lord was not given admittance, when the door wasn't open to the Lord, is it a wonder then that he stood there? And still not. You go up to someone's door and you stand there for a moment or two, knocking the door or ringing the bell, there's no answer, you turn away. Well, here the Lord came to this door and he was standing at this door and standing and standing and continuing to knock. Is it possible they heard the knock but they wouldn't let him in? That certainly would be something to behold, isn't it? They were slow to answer the knocking and so kept the Lord standing outside the door. Their King, their Lord, their Savior. They denied him his proper place, namely the throne of their hearts. He's the king. who sits on the throne. The Laodicean church was slow to admit the Saviour to his rightful place among them. And what is that rightful place? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That's his rightful place. The doors being shut, the Lord Jesus appeared and stood in the midst of them. And we have read there in the verse 21, his rightful place is upon his throne. And yet the Laodicean church treated the Lord Jesus like a stranger. Left him standing outside. How long had he been standing there? How long had he been knocking there? How long had he been waiting there? What did he say? He said, if any man. It's as if there wasn't one man in the church at Laodicea who would open the door and let him in. If any man. That applies to the heart. Where is the Lord in your life today? Is he upon his throne in your heart? Where is he outside? Turn please to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon and chapter 5. Here we have a similar incident. We know the two principal characters in the Song of Solomon is the Beloved and the Shulamite, and the Beloved and his bride. The Beloved is Christ, the bride is the Christian. And we read in the Song of Solomon 5 and verse 2, here's the bride speaking. Here's the Shulamite woman speaking. Verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. The voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. Now she answers. She says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? She's too comfortable. Her beloved had come to the door. And she says, I sleep. But my heart waketh, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying. So her beloved's outside, and he's saying to her who's on the inside, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. My head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. You know what that tells me? It tells me that the beloved had been outside that door for some time. The beloved had been outside the door knocking for some time because he said, my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. He had been there for some time. And what was her excuse? Oh, I put off my coat. How shall I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? She didn't show much love, did she? For her beloved. Here's a picture of the Christian. who doesn't show much love for Christ. She was too comfortable. She couldn't be bothered, if you like, rising up and going and opening the door. The Lord showed great grace in going to that door here in Revelation. And the Lord said, of any man that would appear, there wasn't even any man to open the door. Like the bride in the Song of Solomon. Oh, that should never, ever be. That should never be. What a terrible way to treat the Lord. Where is Christ in your life? Is he outside the door? So we have considered then the wonder that the Lord would even come to the door. And the wailing, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And then you have the worshippers. He addresses the worshippers. The Savior said, if any man hear my voice and open the door. So the Lord addressed himself to the individuals in the Laodicean church. It's almost an appeal by the Savior. As if the Lord is saying, is there any man among you there in that church that will be willing to open the door and let me in? Is there any man? Is there any man who would shake off that lukewarmness, that complacency, and let me in? Is there any man among you that would show any love or any compassion for me and come and open the door and let me in? Have they all become so comfortable and complacent and so cold of heart that not one and not Laodicean church would shake themselves out of their lethargy and their lukewarmness and make their way to the door? Is there any man? They're all like that man the Lord spoke about over in Luke chapter 11. If you turn to Luke 11, and the story the Lord told there. Luke 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go in unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, you would think that friend would get out of his bed and open the door. After all, it was his friend who was knocking at the door. But look, verse 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. It's the same principle, isn't it? It's the same idea. Too comfortable. Even though it was his friend who was outside the door. Nevertheless, he was too comfortable. The door's locked. I'm in bed with my children. And here we see in Revelation 3, the believers in the church in Laodicea were too comfortable. Now they said, I have need of nothing. As far as the church in Laodicea was concerned, it wasn't only a friend who was knocking on the door. He's more than a friend. He was their Savior, their Lord, and their King. He was the one who was knocking at the door. So we've noticed the person. That brings us to consider the plea. It is a sad sight. The Lord uttering a plea to any man in the church there to come and open the door of his own house, of his own church. It is also sad to see the Lord standing outside the heart of one of his own blood-bought people. He's not on his throne in the heart. He's been dethroned. He's outside the door. They were so taken up with other things. And as a result, they become so lukewarm. So lukewarm. They didn't have the love for Christ that they ought to have. They were believers in name only. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Here we see then, regarding the plea, we have the voice of the King, or the voice of the Savior. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. It was a custom in those Bible times that when someone came to a person's door, they would not only knock the door, but they would shout out, so that the person inside would know who was at the door. And here the Lord is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. As if the Lord wasn't only knocking, but he was crying out. If any man hear my voice. And open the door. You know, the Lord can speak to us in a variety of ways. The Lord can knock at the heart's door in a variety of ways. He can knock and we will recognize his knock. The way it used to be when there were no bells at the door, but a knocker. And you heard someone knocking at the door and you recognized it. Oh, that's so and so. Well, here the Lord is knocking at the door, and the Lord can knock at our heart's door in a variety of ways, through trials. You're lukewarm, you're away from God, and a trial comes your way, and you know. You may not publicly admit it, but you know in your heart, God's speaking to me, you know. I recognize his voice. He's speaking to me. And trial comes and trouble comes. And you know, that's the Lord speaking to me. Christian man that I know years ago had become very lukewarm. Just attended church occasionally, prayer meeting hardly at all. It got so lukewarm. And then one night he had an accident. As a result of that accident, he broke his leg. And he told me afterwards, he says, the Lord was speaking to me. He says, I have not been what I ought to have been. I've gone away from the Lord. I've got cold and lukewarm. And that accident, he says, I heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord spoke to me. And after he recovered from his accident, he was going on with God. And you know something? He's now a deacon in the church. God spoke through the accident. God knocked at his heart's door through that accident. So the Lord is not in his rightful place in our lives or in your heart. And through circumstances, he may speak to you. Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And the same applies when you hear his voice through the word. He's knocking through the word. When we hear the word and God challenges us through the word, it's like the Lord is knocking on our heart's door. Reminds me of the words of a hymn by a woman called Mary Slade, who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Lonely without, he's standing. Lonely within am I, while I am still delaying, will he not pass me by? Sweetly the tones are falling. Open the door for me. If I will heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Are the words of that hymn sum up what we have here? Sweetly the tones are falling. Open the door for me. If I will heed my calling, I will abide with thee. There's the voice. And we notice something else here, the victory. The patiently waiting Savior said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, there's the victory. And surely opening the door would be a victory over lukewarmness, would be a victory over complacency. It would be a victory, wouldn't it? To open their heart's door and to admit the Savior and grant to him his rightful place in their hearts. That would be a victory. A victory over the lukewarmness, as we say. victory over their coldness. If any man open the door, upon the throne in the believer's heart, that's his rightful place. Paul said in Ephesians 3:17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts . If he's outside the door of the heart, he's not dwelling in the heart. How often have we sung the words, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn crowned rod. Lead me to Calvary. So being our Lord, our Savior, our King, there's only one place for him in our lives. And that is upon his throne in our hearts. Not standing outside like some stranger. No. He deserves better than that. The person, the plea, finally the promise. We see that once the door is opened, the Savior does not hesitate to enter. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. I will come in. Even though you've kept me standing outside for so long, I'll still open, you open the door and I'll come in. That's grace. Here we see then, first of all, his coming. He said, I will come in. Even though the church in Laodicea was made up of many believers, yet the Lord addresses them personally. I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. See that? It's a personal relationship between the individual and the Lord. And our Savior delights. He delights to be with his people. Collectively and individually. We referred there earlier on to the bride and the Song of Solomon. What did the beloved say to her? He knocked, and she said, it is the voice of my beloved. I recognize his voice. I know who it is. And he says to her, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. He's not talking about anybody else. Just the beloved wanting to spend time with his bride. On a personal basis. And here we have it again. In Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open or hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. I will come in and we will have a time of fellowship together. If the Lord said, just you and me. Here today. If anyone here feels they have had the Lord outside their life and outside their heart, open the heart's door today. and say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Come. The Lord said he would come in and sup with him, that person who would open the door. So you have his coming, and then you have his communion. Here in the last words of this verse, the Savior said, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And here we have an image denoting friendship and fellowship and intimacy. The idea here is that between the Savior and those who would receive him, there would be the intimacy which is experienced by close friends. You know, and with more freedom to go out for a meal, you would contact a few friends, say, let's go out and get a meal on Friday night. And you look forward to it because you'd go out and sit around the table and have a time of fellowship. That's what the Lord's talking about here. I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. I with him, and he with me. For so long, they had been so taken up with their possessions and being prosperous, and they were so full of pride. They hadn't had fellowship with Christ in a long time. Behold, I stand at the door knocking. And they hadn't had fellowship and communion. They hadn't been intimate with the Savior for such a long time. And yet here the Lord makes the offer. That any man open to me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. 1 John 1 verse 3. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with him. Let us ask ourselves then, when was the last time we were truly intimate with Christ? When did we last know that the Lord is saying here and speaking about here, I will sup with him and he with me? If we do not seek his company and fellowship with him, then lukewarmness will get a tighter grip on us, will engulf us completely. It's being with Christ that warms the heart. If you don't spend time with the Lord Jesus, you'll be cold in heart. The Emmaus disciples discovered that. The day was far spent. They asked him into their home, opened the door, and brought Christ in. And there they were around the table, and he supped with them, and they with him. And what was their testimony? To the other disciples, they said, did not our heart burn within us? They spent time with Christ. And what was the result? They had, I often think of as spiritual heartburn. Did not our heart burn within us? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. The king's at the door. Who will open the door and bring them in? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear loving God and eternal Father, we bless thee for the Saviour. We know that his rightful place is upon the throne of our hearts. For those of us who are saved, he's not a stranger. He's our Saviour. And yet, Lord, so often thou art treated and regarded as a stranger. Lord, may the heart's door be open today, and the Lord Jesus be admitted to his rightful place there upon his throne. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts today, that we not soon forget it, but meditate upon it. Again, dear Lord, we commit all in our congregation to thee. Keep us safe and well and healthy. And remember, Lord, those who have been led aside, do draw near to them, and all the frontline workers, bless them. Be with us, Lord, throughout this day, and we look forward to being with thee again this evening in thy will. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.